Thank you, Catherine, for ministering to them and others today. We want them to see our good example, don't we? We're all leaving tracks. The way we live, we're all leaving tracks. It's well said, he being dead yet speaks. Amen. I think about our brother Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk left tracks. And he's living forever because Charlie believed in the risen Christ. Yep. Thank God we'll never lose connection to the internet. Well, the one that matters, the knowledge of Christ. And everybody has some kind of faith, right? The issue is, do you have saving faith in Jesus? Where you put your faith has consequences. Only Jesus saves. And so you've got to believe that God's Son, Jesus, is the ruler and the rescuer that we all need. Jesus is the Christ. Only Christ is the true King. And Charlie was right. It's all about Jesus. A lot of people thinking about Charlie Kirk, who served Christ well, and how Charlie's life and martyrdom speaks so powerfully. Last Sunday afternoon, Charlie Kirk's memorial service spread the name of Jesus Christ to countless millions around the world. And we ask, what is God doing? Oh, is this a revival? Is this God's gift of revival? Well, the answer is we must watch and pray, and we must keep witnessing. God's light shines in the darkness, and the light of the world is Jesus. Surely Charlie Kirk will be missed, especially by his loved ones, as will our brother Vodi Bocum, another man who really impacted my life with some his teaching. And it's just a reminder how short this life is, and that only the Lord knows what a day will bring. You wake up in the morning, what will the day bring? We make our plans, but the Lord is sovereign. And so, church, this is our time to speak his light into a very dark world. And the world will be the world. Rebel hearts will continue to rage against God's anointed. The enemy, Jesus says in John 10, will take every opportunity to keep on stealing and murdering and destroying. And on a personal level, we should understand all of our own battles, our spiritual battles. It's always a spiritual battle. But we're assured this world system is passing away because, yes, Jesus Christ, our King, is coming back to make all things new. And yet the identity and the lived experience of most of the people on the planet contradicts the word of Christ. And that's why the world hates, even violently hates us. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But he also said, take heart, I have overcome the world. So will you be discipled by the world, or will you be discipled by the Word? What are you after in this life? Today is the third Sunday we've been focusing on this big idea. Christ Church in each local congregation carries Christ's authority and Christ's responsibility, or in Christ's authority and responsibility to represent Christ's true identity and message to the yet unbelieving world. We have that authority and responsibility from Christ. Charlie Kirk saw his purpose, and I loved how he put it, to just try to make heaven crowded, to make heaven crowded. And only God's grace can convert the sinner. I hope you're here because you know salvation is the greatest of all miracles. But the people of God have a role in spreading the word of God's amazing grace. And so the title of this little series is Church, What's the Big Deal About Belonging? And I'm just asking you to consider that it's probably a bigger deal than you realize. And in the first message, we saw how the New Testament shows the process Jesus wants. The process starts with believing. Believing Jesus is absolutely necessary to be eternally saved from sin's curse. Acts 4:12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And the New Testament shows that believing leads to baptizing. Believers' baptism is the powerful symbol that visibly and publicly identifies you as Christ's follower, his disciple. Acts 2:38 and 39, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized." There's the process, there's the order. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And then the New Testament shows how believing and baptizing leads to belonging in a visible one another community connection and commitment. Acts 2, beginning in verse 41, we read, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Again, this is what is the point of this book of Acts? It's the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles' teaching, right? Creating these disciples of Jesus. And the early church knew their number. They knew who belonged, and they praised the Lord for adding to their number because they were so mission-focused on spreading the apostles' teaching to see heaven crowded in the way that Jesus wants. So the process. And then last Sunday, we also noted the unique possession that Jesus gives. Matthew 16:16-19 and Matthew 18:15-20 show us this treasure that we have in Jesus Christ. Only the church is given the good confession about Jesus Christ. Only the church is given Christ authority of the kingdom keys to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. Only the church is given the reconciling discipline of Christ's love that compels us to keep on loving one another. And so today I urge you to consider the identity and lived experience that Jesus provides. The world has an identity and a lived experience, but I want you to consider the identity and the lived experience that belonging to Christ's church provides. Who's got it better than us, church? And I love the way that 1 Peter 3:13 puts that question. Who's got it better than us? The apostle says, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good?" Who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." Brothers and sisters, the new covenant identity that Jesus gives us is ours forever. He will hold us fast. And his word details our union in Christ with beautiful identity pictures. I'm just saying that knowing your identity, it's everything for your eternity. So take that to the bank. And if you saw the memorial for Charlie Kirk, there was a recording that played. And you may have even missed it. It was very brief. But it was a recording of Charlie and Erica's daughter sweetly singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." And that strikes me, because I was also very young when I was taught to sing that song in truth. And we'll never stop singing it, because nothing compares with belonging to Jesus. And what good news it is that he welcomes all who will come to him. Whosoever will may come. Because his grace gives us the will. His grace makes everything new. His grace brings us together. So church, what's the big deal about belonging? Well, there are many, many answers in the Bible, but today, three identity realities for us. Remember this. Church, we are Christ's body, and we are Christ's bride, and we are Christ's building. We are Christ's body. Jesus is our life. Obviously, we might want to have better bodies here. You wake up with some aches and pains, right? Your body parts let you know where, you know, hey, I'm hurting over here. But having a body is a big idea, big deal for our Creator's purpose. I mean, God gave us a body as part of bearing his image. Male body, female body, we bear God's image. We're image bearers. Now, God is spirit. No one has seen the Father except the one who came from the Father. But Jesus is God with skin on, the Word incarnate. And God's Son Jesus, in humility, became fully human to identify as one of us. He came to fix everything as the second Adam that the first Adam messed up. He came to be our Savior from our sin curse. And though, as Scripture says, there was nothing unusually attractive about Jesus' human body that made people want to worship him, Jesus definitely had a human body. And humans are both material, physical, and immaterial, spiritual. And Jesus identifies everyone who follows him as his one spiritual body. In 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, the Apostle Paul describes the church as baptized into one body. This is our identification. We are the one body of Christ. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews and the non-Jews, the Greeks, slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one spirit. We all have a body. And so we understand something of the beauty of this picture that 1 Corinthians 12 gives us. There are many members of your body. The body is diversity, but is also unity. And so it is with Christ's church. We are many diverse members. We are one spirit-baptized body. But how does this truth of the one body become visible? It becomes visible by the commitment of every believer joining to congregations of Christ all around the planet. We each have various gifts, but a single identity and purpose in Christ by His Spirit. And every part, every gathering of Christ's people matters, and every part of those gatherings, every member of those meetings matter. Membership matters. Back in 1984, which some of you think is the Dark Ages, and some of you are like, that was just 4 years ago, wasn't it? Back in 1984, I was in eighth grade, and the Tigers won the World Series. Come on, Tigers. And do you remember there was a Wendy's commercial that had us laughing with that guy saying, parts is parts. Some of you remember that parts is parts commercial, and that has nothing to do with the sermon, except that I remembered it as I was thinking through these things. And what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honor, that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. That's important. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffer, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Today we want to be reminded that a healthy goal of a healthy church is every member ministry. If you belong to Christ's body, you are one of the many valuable body parts. But how will you fulfill your purpose of serving Christ's body? Well, every believer is gifted by the Holy Spirit to contribute to the shared ministry of a local visible congregation. Our spiritual citizenship comes with spiritual gifting for spiritual function. So there's no place for a non-functioning, non-contributing Christ follower. Spiritual function finds the right fit within the local church community. And this is what Jesus wants. Every member ministry doing the body good. It's like milk. It does the body good, right? Every member ministry does to do the body good. And then another picture of the body most precious to our Lord, of course, is His bride. And church, we are Christ's bride. Which is to say, Jesus is our love. In Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul gives this challenging word to husbands. Love your wife as Christ loves the church and gave Himself up for her. So, marriage, and let's just clarify, between a biological man and a biological woman, this is God's idea. It's a good idea. Now, our sin always messes up what God wants. But the reality remains, the marriage relationship is a picture of Christ and His church. The gospel is the motivation for how we do marriage. The gospel is also the motivation for why and how we do church. Over and over, the New Testament announces the church as the bride of Christ. And that's why we know the best is yet to come, because Christ is coming for His bride. But church, we are united in a covenant marriage to Jesus, and so we must live like it. We're already representing submission to Jesus. We're already celebrating our union of forever relationship. As Paul says to the congregation in 1 Corinthians 11:2, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. You know, because marriage is a oneness protected by a covenant before God, it's right and proper to have a jealousy regarding your spouse. 6 times in the Bible, God repeats the marriage plan that there needs to be a leaving and a cleaving and a weaving, so that nothing separates what God has joined together. Marriage is an exclusive commitment. That's why we take those vows, right? And we say, forsaking all others. And the bonds of marriage are meant to point to the bonds of love between Christ and His church. God's heart is certainly jealous in love for His bride. And we should be jealous about the church too. The point I'm trying to make is there's a difference between, you know, you go to that family reunion and you meet people that, like, maybe you hardly know or you've never met before, you know, and someone's trying to explain to you how you're connected in this family tree, you know, and that's all well and good, you know. But there's a difference between meeting that distant relative that you hardly know and sharing time around the table with the love of your life and with those that are your immediate family. Immediate family, ideally, will be a visible priority over your extended family. And in Christ, yes, we're looking forward to that great family reunion around the heavenly throne. We're going to be never separated. He's going to hold us fast forever. But right here and right now, who is your spiritual family? Yes, you have a spiritual family in Christ that is spread around the planet. You don't know almost all of them. We don't know the extended spiritual family, but we should be focused on loving an immediate spiritual family of those who are living in a committed partnership with us to make Jesus known. There's an increased commitment in caring for the brothers and sisters in your own congregation. There's an increased commitment to supporting the leadership of your own congregation. Your congregation is where you get the privilege of sharing life and ministry. And no local congregation has it 100, right? Like, no local congregation is a perfect picture of representing Christ. We certainly are not. Faith Bible Church, you know, it is safe to say, you know, we talk about our vision. We've got miles and miles to go. But the point is we want to have a biblical vision. In the grace of Jesus, we can be a real picture of Christ and not a forgery. We should not cheat ourselves and cheat our church family and cheat our world out of our gathered witness. We should pursue the markers of a true gospel-centered congregation of Christ, living in belonging community, wearing His jersey, practicing the gospel ordinances, baptism in the Lord's table, proclaiming the Bible as the authority and the driver for our disciple-making ministry, joyfully following the servant leaders that God has provided, and exercising spiritual gifts, not for ourselves, but for the good of the rest. Because this is what honors Christ. Jesus shows us in John 13 the humility we need. We see Jesus doing the humble work of a servant by washing His followers' feet. Why was He doing that? To point His followers to embrace His ultimate service that He would render on the cross. Jesus knew that He had come to give His life. He was going to that glory of giving His life to provide the soul cleansing that we all need so that we could belong to Him forever. Judas, of course, betrays Jesus. But Jesus says to the rest in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So as unlovely as a bride as we may seem, loving Christ means loving his bride. And then quickly, a related identity picture, which is church, we are Christ's building. Jesus is our true and our eternal home. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." This means if you are one of Christ's living stones, then your spiritual sacrifices equal useful spiritual construction. None of it is in vain. The holy priesthood is a community. And that means living stones will find no satisfaction in being loose stones, you know, off on the side of the construction project. Jesus doesn't want us to be, I love how Charles Spurgeon said, he doesn't want us to be rolling stones, good for nothing bricks. No, Jesus wants to use us as people who are building by loving one another. We're not meant to make this journey in isolation. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, amen, and so are our brothers and sisters. So understand, all of this identity before God, it's a big deal. So is your identity and your lived experience all about Jesus? Do you belong to Jesus with a visible community connection that Jesus says is good for you? You know, if you kind of double-click on what Jesus says about the church in the Gospels, it takes you to what is explained in the epistles. And what becomes clear is, to use the older translation, we are a peculiar people. And by that, it doesn't mean look around and say, wow, look at how weird everyone is. No, it means we're different. We're particularly unique because we are set apart by God. And there's nothing like the Church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like the community that we can share that's going to matter for eternity because Jesus died for us. So don't be deceived about what Jesus wants. For the health of your soul and for the growth of his church, Jesus wants your lived experience to involve a believing community, vouching for your witness, supporting your discipleship, and benefiting from your giftedness. Big idea again. Christ's church and each local congregation carries Christ's authority and responsibility to represent Christ's true identity and message to a yet unbelieving world. Brothers and sisters, this is our vision from Jesus until we get to see him. And if you refuse to visibly belong to a body, how are people going to know you spiritually belong to the body of Christ? I think that's a very good question based on the Bible. It's the congregation that gives confirmation to our Christian credentials and becomes the conduit for our community in Christ. And it's a big deal. Hebrews 10 says, don't forsake it. This world is certainly a lousy home, but it's the right place. It's the place that God has given us to work out. Don't let the world disciple you. Train hard to follow Jesus. Work out your faith with a visible and connected and committed community. And we would love for that to be Faith Bible Church if it's not the case. And so to put what Jesus wants into practice, we have a membership covenant too that just says, hey, we're following Jesus together. And it's not a perfect process by any means, but if you believe Jesus is leading you to make this commitment, the elders would love to follow through with you. And again, if you're not in, you know, it doesn't have to be Faith Bible Church, but if you're not belonging in membership with a local gathering of Bible believers, what would keep you from that? The remainder of this time is really just for those who are committed here, those of you who make up Faith Bible Church, because membership matters. And so the message of church, what's the big deal about belonging, connects to our annual ministry meeting, because we have a purposeful mission. We didn't make it up. You know, we didn't pull it out of a hat. This is the mission Jesus has given to us. And